Hey, neighbor, go ahead and hit that subscribe or follow button in whatever podcast app that you're listening to this episode in, so that each week when the podcast drops, you're notified and you don't miss an episode. Like today's episode, I have Heather Avena, who is a veteran twin mom. Her identical twin girls are 14, so she gives some really great advice to twin moms and all moms, actually. She also talks about how she was pregnant and gave birth while her husband was in a different country because of immigration issues. And she talks about the differences in her daughters because one has a disability, one does not, and the challenges that she faces because of that. I'm Amber. I have 5 young kids, including a set of boy-girl twins. My kids were all born within 6.5 years of each other. It's a lot of kids in a little amount of time. It has been quite the journey parenting all these kids so close in age. I've learned a lot over the years, and people often come to me for advice. But let's be honest, I don't know everything. And in those cases, I turn to other moms for their advice. I believe that people living it and doing it are the real experts. So that's why each week I'll sit down with a real expert, one of my friends, a mom like you, to get all the advice you asked for, and some you didn't. This is Neighborhood Twin Mom. Welcome to the neighborhood.
All right. Well, let's start. Heather Avena is here, and she is going to tell her interesting twin story of how she became a twin mom and what life is like as a twin mom now. Heather, why don't you introduce your family a little bit, and then we'll back up and start at the beginning.
Okay. Sounds good. Like you said, my name is Heather Avena, and I have twins that are now 14, and they're identical twins, Ava and Maya. And then I have an 11-year-old, Stevie. He's a boy, obviously. And then our baby, Bentley, is 6. And so that's kind of our family in a nutshell. My husband and I live in Yakima, Washington. And like all twin moms, I feel like, you know, it's an interesting ride. There's lots of ups and downs and a lot of learning that we've had through the years. I don't know exactly how much you want me to
tell.
Why
don't you just tell me? Yeah. So you were married, and then were you trying to have kids? Was this a surprise pregnancy? Were you using a lot of twin moms use fertility medicine? So they're your first kids. How did you find out you were pregnant? How did that go?
So that is an interesting question. It's a little complicated because I was pregnant before I had them, and then I miscarried at 14 weeks. And so at that time, we decided just to not use any protection or birth control at the time, because we were trying to get my cycle back to a regular cycle. And then, interesting enough, so my husband was going through immigration proceedings, and he was in Mexico. And had been in Mexico for about maybe 8 months, six to eight months at the time. And we had an appointment with the consulate down there, thinking that this was his opportunity to come back to the United States. I thought, okay, I'm going to go and get a job. We'll go and I'll go get a job. We can live with my parents, get back on our feet. And so I did. I came back up to Seattle and I actually got a job. And then I went back down to Mexico for the appointment at the consulate. And lo and behold, it was not the appointment that allowed him to come back to the United States at the time. But then the funny thing is, this job started, I think it was 2 to 3 weeks later. And I kid you not, the first day of work at my dream job, I was really sick. And at the time I was just like, oh, it's just nerves. Like there's nothing, you know, like what's going on? This is so bizarre. Like I just did not feel good. In fact, some of my new coworkers were like, come and do this with us after work. And I was like, I just don't feel good. I went home and I was talking to a really good friend of mine that he was an older gentleman actually. And he's like, you're pregnant. And I'm like, I am not pregnant. There's no way I'm pregnant. How can I be pregnant? I saw Alex for like a week. Like, I went and took a pregnancy test and I was pregnant. So that was fun.
Because you guys are living in two different countries at the time.
Yep.
So how did you tell him you were pregnant?
So, I mean, I think I just told him over the phone back then there wasn't Zoom or FaceTime or anything like that. I actually don't remember the telling him I was pregnant, that part. I remember telling him I was having twins. That part came later.
How many weeks were you when you found out you were having the twins?
So at the time, I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, everyone's different, right? So at the time I was thinking, okay, I'm going to go through a midwife. We're going to try this out, see what we can do. So midwives just do things a little differently. So at 18 weeks, I went in for a heartbeat check. I was 18 weeks along. And the funny thing is my older sister was pregnant at the same time. We lived close, and this was her second child. So essentially this was my second pregnancy, but like it had gone further than the other ones. So my mom, she didn't tell me till later. She's like, I thought it was so weird that you were bigger than Melanie. And so anyway, at 18 weeks, they were doing the heartbeat check. I was all alone. I actually went on a break from work just to go get that, because 2 weeks later, I was going to go down to Mexico so that we could find out the gender together. That was the plan. So I'm in the doctor's office and she's checking the heartbeat. And there was actually I don't know what they call them when they're midwives, but an intern with her. And so it was those two in the room and myself. And then they're just kind of looking at each other. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is weird. She's like, I'm going to go get the doctor. I'm like, okay. Like, I had no clue. Then the doctor comes in and she has a resident as well. So there's like four medical providers there. And the doctor does the heartbeat thing and just is kind of like, they're all looking at each other. And I mean, it's my first experience. I don't know. I'm just like, okay, whatever. What's going on? And the doctor said, I'm going to go get an ultrasound machine. And of course I was like, no, I don't want to know the gender. Like I want to find out with my husband. That's our plan. And they're like, okay, we won't tell the gender, but we need to look at something. And I really, honestly, I didn't think anything was wrong. I didn't think there was anything out of the ordinary. And then they're doing the ultrasound and trying to like block me from looking, right? Because I didn't want to see. And then she said, yeah, there's two heads. And I remember thinking, what?
Huh?
I mean, I was like, there's two heads. Like, I have a two-headed baby. Like, what the heck? And then it just dawned on me. She's like, no, there's two babies in there. So, of course, all the emotions. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm sure you remember that, too. Just, it was like so much all at once. I'm happy. I'm crying. I'm like, what in the world? My husband isn't here. So I remember that day very clearly. I feel like when you have really impactful moments, you can remember every detail. They said, okay, why don't you go get some lunch? Come back. We need to run a bunch of tests and do all this stuff. So of course I call work. I'm like, I'm not coming back today. The crazy thing, my mom was out of town and my husband's in Mexico, right? And I'm in Seattle area. So I had to like tell someone. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. But I wanted to be able to tell him first, but I could not get a hold of him because back then, like you weren't able to dial internationally without a calling card. And even with the calling card, for some reason, like I couldn't get it to connect. And so I had to call my mom. So my mom is with a couple of sisters and I think my grandparents, and I told her, I said, you cannot react to what I'm going to tell you.
Oh my gosh.
Cause I was living with her at the time. So she, you know, she'd been the one kind of helping me out, her and my dad. And so I said, okay, I have to tell you this because I need you to get a hold of Alex. And she's like, okay. And she knew my appointment was that day. So I did tell her, and I guess I wasn't there, but they said she did drop to the floor. But was trying really hard to be like, everything's okay, nothing's wrong.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So she ended up calling my husband, getting a hold of him through, he was at work, but found a friend that I don't think he was living with them at the time. Finally able to get a hold of him. He called me and I said, guess what? I'm like, I know we weren't going to wait to find out the gender. but it's a girl and she has a little sister. And he's like, what? He just kind of lost it. So the crazy thing is, like, we're, you know, in two different countries. So it was nice that we already had that plan where I was going to go to Mexico a couple of weeks later and do the ultrasound. And they actually, they had those cool, like, I don't know if it was 3D or 4D at the time, like the ultrasounds, they were like the new and upcoming medical technology. And so we were able to see that.
So did your mom spill the beans to your sisters and your other family that was there?
No, she didn't yet. I think, I mean, gosh, it was 15 years ago. So now I'm like, I don't remember. I just remember I told her, don't tell anyone until I tell Alex. So she probably did. Once I told Alex, then she told them.
That would be a hard secret to keep.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then it just was, it was nutty because there was so much going on in my life already. So then everyone's like, what's happening?
So did you find out if they were mono dye or dye? They're identical. So they're mono dye or mono?
They're mono.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they are identical, same sac. And yeah, they were just very, the reason I guess they had a hard time figuring out there was two is because their heartbeats were so similar. Even further on in the pregnancy, they were like, man, their heartbeats are so in sync. So, I mean, it's kind of cool to think about now, right?
Well, mine were that way too.
So yeah, that's when we found out it was twins.
So were you, did you deliver in the States and was your husband able to come to delivery?
I did deliver in the States and sadly he was not there. We did everything in our power to get him. So, I mean, he was deported. That's another whole podcast in it of itself because I have a lot of opinions about that. And we were doing everything right. It was just a power hungry agent at the border is what happened. He was on a tourist visa, but was married. And so she said, you know, you're trying to be a resident. And he's like, yes, I am. But then she said, okay, you're deported. So it was really bizarre. Anyway, that's like another, there's lots of questions there. But what happened, we have a good friend that he worked for the Chamber of Commerce of Seattle. So he kind of knew people in high places and knew what was going on and was really close to us. And he said, I'm gonna call Patty Murray's office and see if there's anything we can do. And he did, which was really nice, but they can't do anything. I mean, there's a lot to it and I don't want to get into anything political, but they really can't do. So we even had like a senator call to see if there's any way. I mean, we wrote letters of hardship and all that, but because I got pretty sick too. So we were a little nervous, but so in the end, he wasn't there. My mom was there. She was videoing everything. And it was kind of funny because she's trying to be present with me, but then video, you know, baby A comes out and she's quiet. And then, so she's filming baby A, which was Ava. And then Maya, it was C-section. So they were actually born in the same minute, which was just crazy. I remember them saying, okay, you know, 5:59 PM. And then the next baby B, Maya, 5:59 PM. I'm like, what? Same minute. They're like, yeah, that was the same minute. So it was really quick. So she was videoing everything.
How many weeks were they?
They were 35 weeks.
Oh, that's pretty good, especially for mono yeah. Twins. Did they have twin-to-twin transfusion at all?
Nope. Mm-mm. No, they did pretty good. And at that time, they were in the NICU for 10 days. At the time, I was like, oh, they're sick. I'm so nervous. But they were only there for 10 days. They had to learn how to eat and breathe a little bit better on their own. But they did really well. And actually, I always tell twin moms, I'm like, it's a good thing. Like, let them get on a schedule because that was such a godsend for me to have them on a schedule when they came home. I mean, every 3 hours on the dot, I'm not even kidding, to the minute, it was like, wah! Like, time to eat. That part was good. But yeah, there was a lot of, it was interesting because they were born during this really crazy storm in Seattle. In fact, it was like a power outage, like everywhere, and people didn't have heat. My family would come to the hospital just to like get warm. I mean, they said they were coming to visit, you know. And I actually ended up, I was there for a few days in the beginning. I had preeclampsia, which they say the one way to cure it a lot of times is to deliver your babies. At the time, I was going in every day to every other day just to make sure everything was okay. And then I remember it was a Monday, and she said, okay, tomorrow's the day. So be ready. But what happened is about a week, they kept me in the hospital for a week just to monitor. And then I went home and my babies were still there in the NICU. And I got home and walked downstairs, and about an hour later, my blood pressure was through the roof. And so ended up going back in. I was in the ER, and I mean, everything was taken care of, but it was pretty scary there for a little bit. So I was really glad they were in the NICU then, because I'm like, oh, babies are right over there and they're fine. In fact, I told my mom to go to the 2 a.m. feeding, because she was sitting there as my blood pressure is being monitored every 5 minutes. They gave me a sedative and I'm trying to sleep, and she would just be like, like, it just scared her every day. I'm like, Mom, please go to the 2 a.m. feeding.
So I imagine you were living with her. So you bring the twins home, yeah, and you bring them to your parents' house. So I'm sure your parents were really helpful, but were your parents both employed at the time? Were you?
No, they actually were really helpful. My dad was working. My mom was teaching like an early morning church class, and so she had to do that. In fact, she just reminded me of that the other day, that she would come home really early in the morning and take that feeding. And so, of course, looking back, it was like, oh my gosh, it was so terrible. You know, my husband wasn't there initially. I look back and I'm like, it was so nice to have like so much help, because besides my parents, my two youngest sisters were still in the house.
Oh my gosh.
They would come home. I remember my one sister would come home from basketball games or practice and just like hold the baby, hold one of them and sleep with, you know, so that it was nice to have a lot of help that way for sure.
If my friend and fellow twin mom Melissa ever recommends a product to me, I pretty much always go out and buy it, except for her 12-passenger van. I'm not there quite yet. So when she recommended Kindra Bravely nursing bras, I went out and got one. She was right. It was the most comfortable nursing bra I'd ever owned. They also have pajamas, clothing, and underwear specific for pregnancy and postpartum. The CEO of the company is a mom who wanted more comfortable jammies during pregnancy and postpartum, so she set out to design her own. Most of their clothes are designed to be used during pregnancy and postpartum and are nursing friendly, so they are comfortable and cute. They always have 10% off if you sign up for emails, but with my special link in the show notes, you'll get 20% off your entire first purchase. The prices are already very affordable. Seriously, who doesn't want to save more money? The jammies or nursing tops would make a great gift for your mom friend or a mom-to-be. Again, click the special link in the show notes for 20% off at kendrabravely.com.
So then one of your children, the oldest one, is that right, has a disability. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So they both hit all their milestones right at the same time. I remember when I found out I was having twins, I remember like saying, I do not want to treat them the same. Like, they're going to be different. And growing up, there were twins that were good family friends. They were little twins that I babysat, right? And they were like night and day, so different. And I loved it, because one was super girly, another one was a tomboy. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm going to treat them how they should be individuals. But at the time, they were identical. So it was funny, because people couldn't tell them apart. We would always dress Ava in pink, and Maya kind of got whatever else, which is kind of funny, because that's how they are today. Ava still loves pink and Maya loves everything else but pink. But they, as far as like developmentally, they did really well, right neck and neck, until Ava was about, she was 3.5 years old when we found out she was having seizures. So that's when she was diagnosed with epilepsy. And then her epilepsy kind of evolved and changed in different seizures. And then by first grade, like in kindergarten or in preschool and kindergarten, they were pretty similar. We kind of noticed some differences in kindergarten with Ava. And then in first grade, we moved to Central Washington, to Yakima. And I actually preferred to have them in separate classes. I didn't want them in the same classes at school. Again, that whole, like, I want them treated differently. I don't want people to think they're the same person because they're not. Well, it's funny because I feel like God, you know, was like, oh, really? Okay, let me show you how different they are. So Ava, her, like I said, her seizures evolved and changed. And then what happened is we started noticing that her cognition was like Maya's was like moving up and Ava's was staying about the same. And so she had some developmental delays as well. And as they kind of grew older, that divide was more and more noticeable. So cognitively, Ava is still kind of at that five-year-old range, still to this day. She can read, but she reads like a 1.5 grade level, which is first grade. She also had a bunch of behaviors, and we were told for a long time that it was due to her seizures and her epilepsy. And because, I mean, if you can imagine, she wasn't sleeping well, like it, there's just so many factors and medicine. So we tried lots of different meds. And then in the end, we found out what she has is intractable epilepsy, which means meds don't work. Anyway, so then by age 11, Ava was diagnosed with autism. And that was actually really validating and helpful for us because we got a lot more services and we learned how to work with her. And in the meantime, it was interesting to see those two and their relationship because as kids are younger, they notice when they start noticing kids are different. And, you know, I think Maya wanted to fit in. And so she was embarrassed of her sister. Although I will tell you, we'll never forget, there was a time that some boys were making fun of Ava, I guess, at the playground. And Maya went and like clobbered them. And it was funny because the principal called us, of course. And we're like, oh, well, is it bad that we're really proud? He's like, no, I'm really proud too. So it was good that she was sticking up for her sister. And now that they're older, I mean, they kind of went through this whole phase of, I think a lot of it was people always ask Maya, oh my gosh, you're a twin. That's so lucky. Are you really close? Like, are you guys so alike? And they're not. That's just the answer. They're not. And so that's really hard to deal with.
For you or for the girls?
Well, for me too, because part of it's grieving. I mean, you think I'm going to have twins. They're going to be close. They're the same age. They're going to like trick dates and stuff like that. You know, you think of all those things, but so that's a little bit of grief you go through. Like you have to realize you're not going to have those experiences. And then for her too, I mean, she is definitely, even though Ava loves to tell people she's the oldest, Maya is the one that kind of takes care of her and makes sure, like she's had to grow up way more than any other 14-year-old would have to. And that just comes with the territory of being a special needs sibling. And I have to say she's gotten older, she's gotten more mature, and she's really handled it with grace. But it's a tricky situation. I've, of course, met other actual twins where one has a disability and one doesn't. And it's a very, very interesting just kind of framework. It's difficult. It's difficult for the families, but it's kind of cool too at the same time because I'm like, she knows. She's already told us, oh, I'm going to take care of Ava like when I'm old. I'm like, yes, you are. So that's kind of, she knows her responsibility.
Why do you think it's more difficult to have a twin sibling that has a disability opposed to just a sibling that's a few years away from you?
They're the same age in school, right? Even though Ava is now in a life skills classroom, they still, like at middle school where they were in the same school. And I think at the beginning it was harder for Maya, but she's grown up and realized. And now Ava's more like, it's cool to be like, hey, Ava, like other kids know her and talk to her. So I think the difficulty is, you like in typical terms, I guess, if you had a twin, like, oh, that would be so cool, right? And her twin is not the same, doesn't have the same cognitive abilities as she does. She doesn't have the same abilities in sports as she does. She doesn't have the same friendships that she, you know, like there's just a lot of things. So even in church, like she'll go with her to the same age group, but she's not the same age. So it's a little tricky. I mean, I think the difficulty also comes, and as parents, we're hypervigilant, which is so interesting because we're really like not high maintenance people, but because of her disability, it's made us that way. So with Maya, like for example, at school, I think she feels that pressure. Like, I got to make sure my sister's okay, even though they're not even in the same classes or anything, but she's like, nobody's going to mess with her, right? So there's that extra pressure there, I think, that's maybe not like, it's kind of this implied pressure, I think, more than anything else. Nobody's saying you have to do this, but she just feels it.
And does the one who has epilepsy, does she recognize these differences or is she not aware?
Yes and no. I think more, I lean more on the side of no, which is kind of a gift. Like she doesn't even know when people don't like her or are annoyed with her, right? Like, we always say that's one thing she teaches us. She could care less what people think about her. She just does her own thing and goes at her own pace and she doesn't care. So, I mean, she knows she's Maya's age. She'll certain like things will come out every once in a while. Like Maya's like, I'm going to drive in a year and Ava is not going to drive in a year. Like those are big differences right there, you know? And so my 6-year-old just learned that Ava's not going to drive. So that's a difference. Like that's something. So even though you're twins and you think, oh, we're going to do everything at the same time, they're not. So I feel like that's a little unique to other twin stories, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's back up a bit. So your husband is now in the States. How old were the twins when he was able to come to the States?
Actually, they were 6 months old. So I took the twins to Mexico, which I'm like, if I can live in Juarez, Mexico for 4 months, I can do anything.
So when did you move down to Mexico?
So they were I think they were 10 weeks old.
Oh my gosh. Did you travel here by yourself or did someone travel with
you?
No.
Okay. My parents came, and actually it's kind of funny because Juarez is not a safe city. Let's just say that. Of course we lived in like a safer part of the city, but there were times when my husband would be on the phone and be like under the bed because there were gunshots or whatever. So my parents came with me and we took the twins, and they were little. I mean, because they were preemies, they were still really little. So I remember on the plane, people were like, oh my gosh, these are tiny little babies, right? My dad later on said, what the hell are we doing leaving these twins down here? But we just knew we needed to be together as a family, and it was important that, you know, he meet his kids, and it wasn't like we were separated by choice. So it was a special day when he got to meet them and be around him. And of course tried to do everything he could to make it comfortable for us. In fact, we hired this older woman that had twins herself when she was younger, and she would come and try to help during the day, which was kind of interesting because she would try to teach me how to do certain things, which at that time I was already in my group and I'm like, I got it, you know. There were times I just remember thinking, what the heck, this is like a movie. Sitting in Mexico with tiny twin babies.
Yeah, because you took your village away, your sisters and your parents, but you had the kind of mother's helper there. And so then you guys went back to the States 4 months later.
Yeah. So they were 6 months old.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we went back, and actually we lived with my parents at the time too, just so that we could get back on our feet. And that was nice too, to have the help still. They had a big house, so we're like, might as well take advantage, right? It was nice to have all that help. And I think you find your village wherever you're at, even in Mexico. I mean, I was fortunate to have people that would, you know, there's always people that will be willing to help. But you can feel really lonely and it's hard. But I remember a couple of key people that really took the time to, they recognize, they're like, this sucks. So they would kind of pitch in where they could, for sure.
All right. Well, tell me your best advice for raising twins.
My best advice. I was a first-time mom with mine, and I remember, so I would breastfeed them, right, the feedings. So I had to have the nipple shield, like, the whole time, and I would breastfeed, and then we would supplement with formula, and then I would pump. And I look back on that and think, what was I doing? Like, that was so stupid. because, of course, everyone can do it however they want, but I just feel like, don't kill yourself over it. I wanted to breastfeed them to give them the best milk and nutrients, but in the end, I think I should have just given them formula from the beginning, because by 6 months, we are transitioned to formula anyway. So for a complete feeding, it would take an hour and a half if it was a good feeding. And then they ate every 3 hours. So I'm like, gosh, that's like what I'm doing my whole life. So I guess my advice would be, like, don't beat yourself up over feedings. Do what you can do, but if it's not feeling right, then don't feel obligated to do it. And that's fine. Like, I mean, people might judge you, but do what feels best for you. So that's one piece of advice. Potty train in the summer is advice, because I would think you would want to do them both at the same time. I mean, we did for sure. The first day, I remember we went through 24 pairs of underwear. So,
oh gosh,
that was fun.
And you kept going? I've been like, nah.
We'll try. No, right? Like, what's wrong with me?
I don't think my kids even own 24 pairs of underwear.
No, we did kind of the hardcore, the 3-day method is what it's called. But we were like, nope, we're just going to do it because we wanted it to be done. So I think potty training in the summer is good. I think try not to compare them. I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, we needed that comparison for my one daughter, Ava, to see that she wasn't meeting the milestones. But even though cognitively she's at a different place and developmentally she's at a different place, I'm like, they're different people, right? So treat them differently. Gosh, what other advice do I have?
No, that's great. So tell me, I typically ask all my guests what their best marriage advice is, because for me, I feel like having twins was real, real difficult. So what, and you guys weren't even in the same place for, I guess, just 10 weeks, but still being apart for 10 weeks is hard. So what's your best advice for being married and having kids? How do you stay married?
Yeah, right. I think just being willing to, like, tag team, because I remember my husband a few years ago, he gave me this hourglass for Christmas. His gift was the gift of time. So at the time I had 4 kids and I felt like I was pulling my hair out and things were just really difficult. And so he said, okay, you can use this. This is your time. You get 1 hour a day to do whatever you want. And that was so nice. And I still have it. And use it occasionally. But yeah, I think really just being willing to tag team and tap out, because you can't both do everything at the same time, or you're going to both be burnt out and be just at your wit's end. But just giving each other some time to really, like, be alone and do whatever it is that makes you, you know, fulfilled will help you.
That's great advice. Oh my gosh, I'm going to tell my husband to give me that for Christmas.
Right.
Do you have anything else that you needed to add?
I think the only thing is, I've recognized, and I think I'm sure you've seen this too. I mean, once you're a mom of multiples, your whole world opens up and you just instantly have a bond with other people that have gone through it. I think because they get it on a different level. And so take advantage of those times to, like, just connect and learn from each other. I remember this one mom was like, she was having twins and I was trying to, like, give her a little bit of advice and she did not want it. So some won't want it. So I guess just be judicious in what you're saying. But I know for me, it was so helpful to talk to other moms before I had my own twins, just to be like, how do you do this? What do? You know? So be, I think being open to that, and you really can have kind of this village behind you.
That's great. That's kind of what we're trying to establish here, is even if I don't have all the experiences, someone else will have that experience and we can share and learn from each other. So thank you so much, Heather.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to hang out some more, you can follow me on Instagram at Neighborhood Twin Mom. If you want more info on what we talked about in this episode or a transcription of the audio, head to neighborhoodtwinmom.com. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating and review. This helps other people be able to find the podcast. Music for this episode was composed by Cameron Norby. Find more of his work on YouTube.